Welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm still Robert Winters, and that guy over there is still
Patrick Barrett,
the man. So,
hey man,
as we were threatening during the last half hour in our wild hostility,
City Council angers up the blood a little bit.
It does a little bit, yeah. But the there was a very interesting development. Actually, really several interesting developments over the last several weeks. Having to do with city boards and commissions. Now, this may be like, you know, for some people, maybe this is as interesting as watching paint dry. But, you know, the thing is there are a lot of residents of Cambridge who serve or have served on city boards and commissions. And it is one of the more essential, you know, kind of peripheral functions of government, things like the Board of Zoning Appeals, Planning Board, various advisory committees of all sorts. You know, it's a good opportunity for a lot of people to involve themselves in their city, you know, as to be good little doobies and all of that. But some of these perform what you might sometimes call quasi-judicial roles. You know, you have to decide on whether such and such a developer is going to get a special permit or whether somebody's going to be permitted a variance so that they can do something that goes a little beyond what the zoning would normally allow. Or the historical commission sometimes has to make a decision about appropriateness, you know, based on, you know, whatever ordinances and whatever. So it is still important, these things here, but there's always been a kind of a loosey-goosey way about them, you know, in terms of, well, we'll get into this right now, but in terms of which of them are still existent, what their functions are, et cetera. You know, I'll just throw in one, just as a couple of particulars, you know, as a preface to what else we have to say about this. But the, for example, I served for 20 plus years on the Recycling Advisory Committee. There was also a committee.
That sounds so exciting, Robert.
I got to say, exciting or not, you know, the you develop friendships on these. I mean, so now I'm going to start to sound like real small towny here, but you do develop some serious friendships when you serve on various.
I've served time on two committees, and you know, I still keep in contact with some of the band, as it were.
Yeah. So to me, there is a kind of a cohesion role that some of these boards can serve, especially the advisory ones, where you don't have to have that dire responsibility of making, you know, deciding somebody's fate or something like that, you know. So I've enjoyed them. I've served on a Water and Sewer Advisory Committee, a Library 21 Committee, Green Ribbon Open Space Committee, Technical Working Committee for Computerization of the Elections, Central Square Advisory Committee, and I've learned a lot from every one of them. I am showing off, but the thing is, I'm also saying it with some pride, the fact that, you know, these are opportunities that are available to people, and they're interesting. I worry a little bit now that, you know, with City Council review of some of these, that they may start to become politicized, you know.
What else can they become?
The city councilors could step aside and you could say, no, okay, I don't like that guy, but, you know, let it pass.
Is this the same Robert Winters only 2 minutes ago told us about how city council would not, you know, limit the power of aides through the charter because they are the gatekeepers for it? I want to believe that these things can exist, but I think the mere fact that they wanted to have appointment approval just shows you, I mean, gives you an example. I think this opens the door for how bad it could be in that regard in terms of
it could, you know, it could be, but you know, a lot of this, and this is why it's important, right? This year is important because certain standards may be established about what's sort of acceptable and unacceptable roles that city councilors can play in terms of review of board appointments.
I'm hoping it doesn't have a chilling effect, because I think one of my larger concerns, which I didn't really voice because I just felt like it was not my place to, is these are all volunteer boards, right? And that, you know, even if they give a stipend, we can talk about that in a second, but, you know, who wants to go through that kind of scrutiny and being a controversial yet very qualified appointment and then be denied publicly? I think that's
been one of my biggest fears, is that somebody who's like a really, really thoughtful, balanced mind architect, let's say, applies to be on a planning board, which is a time commitment, you know, and you're not doing it for the money.
But what about an extremely handsome zoning attorney applying to the BZA?
For example, right? And only to have a very qualified person sort of just beat down simply because they were not part of somebody's political circle. That's been my biggest fear. And it may not happen. I'm going to say that. It might not happen.
I hope it doesn't.
When it does, if it does happen, I think that any city councilors who are involved in that level of misbehavior need to be taken out to the woodshed.
That is probably triggering language to people. I think you should rephrase that in some way that is, can you maybe give a Gen Z translation of what you mean to say and de-boomer it a bit?
De-boomer it. they should be asked to reconsider the wisdom of
their participation awards should be taken away.
right. Now I think that this year could be, and actually not just this year, well, this year is quickly coming to an end, but I believe there was board appointments or even applications to serve on boards were pretty much put on hold for much of this year in anticipation of a new city manager and exactly how this old notion about city council review is going to shake out. So there's now two boards that where there's now advertised for people to apply. The first of the ones, a pretty big one, the Board of Zoning Appeals. And now, like Phoenix from the ashes, the long defunct traffic board, which was never put out of its misery. It was always legally existent, but by very serious abuse of its own laws, the city administration just allowed it to just disappear because it might just get in the way of the traffic department doing whatever the hell it pleased.
So I have a question.
So now it's back in existence.
I have a question for you about that, because we do have holdover appointments. So technically those three advisory board members are still members of the
Cambridge residents. That's right. So, you know, technically and really properly, there are two petitions now. I mean, there are already people who are trying to take full advantage of the existence of a traffic board, as is their right. And they filed, there are now two separate petitions to the traffic board for review of traffic regulations on particular streets. Now, there is a timeline, and I believe both of these petitions should have been acted upon. Now, if there is no, there have no been no new appointments, then technically the holdover provision under Massachusetts law means that if there are still members who were on it back 25, 30 years ago, they are technically still on it. And all three members, previous members, are still Cambridge residents.
So if we have members of the board who are technically still members of the board, and we have two petitions that are now past the 2 weeks requirement to be read, what's the consequence of that?
I don't know that there are consequences. I think, you know, so if there are no legal consequences, great. You could say their city's in violation of a law, but if things, if there's no penalty, no whistle, no foul, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't actually know what, if there are any penalties, but I do think that there is something, it's questionable practice though, to basically city to thumb their nose at an existing law that was established as a special act of the Massachusetts state legislature.
When it comes down to it, these two petitions that are out there are basically the Hatfields McCoys, right? It's the bike people versus the people in cars who want to run over people on bikes.
Yeah, but let's also be clear that, you know, right now when the reemergence of a traffic board, how could it have been otherwise? These are the sort of the hot button issues of the day. So of course they would be the first in the queue.
So
right? How could it be otherwise?
A lot of this kerfuffle, I believe, it comes out of mismanagement. And I'm not throwing any city manager or anybody specifically under the bus here. But, you know, we had a thing called COVID where businesses were really, really hurting. They still are, even though we're not, you know, we're mostly past it. But like the next day, they ripped up all the parking on North Mass Ave. Now, whether that contributed to business loss or not, it's still a shocking thing to have happen to you. In the same way, I'm sure it's a shocking thing to be hit on a bike by a car, as I'm sure anyone hearing me talk right now is thinking. But, you know, in terms of there being a process, a lot of it, a lot of this was done without a lot of public engagement in terms of an amendment that came at the final, I think the last city council meeting in public before the pandemic. And I think we talk about process a lot. We just talked about it the previous episode about it in terms of, you know, a councillor going around the city council itself to do what he wanted to do. And I think part of the reason why people lose faith in this and get angry and run for city council or, you know, file lawsuits is because of that lack of process. They didn't get a chance to say what was on their mind.
You know, even the United States Constitution explicitly calls for government to have a process for redress of grievances. Yeah. And I remember there was a conversation in city council 27 years ago. Sue Clippinger, I believe, was the head of the traffic department at the time. And I went over to Tim Toomey, whispered in his ear, I said, Tim, ask her about the traffic board. Yeah. This is, by the way, this is long before anybody ever heard of what a flex post or a protected bike lane or anything was.
So I think it's important to point out too, like the mass law that gives us the ability to have this traffic board, they don't really have the ability to change the parking director's decisions. They're reviewing implementation.
Oh yeah, no. They do.
I thought they couldn't speak on things like installation of stop signs or infrastructure pieces. That only was only specific projects.
Right. No, I think you're right about that. But it does talk about, you know, review of regulation, you know, and a sign is a form of regulation, you know. So I mean a lot of this
is a bike lane a form of regulation?
You know, in a way you are regulating traffic in particular ways, but you also have an ordinance.
I think it's correct.
All right. I think that there's a city ordinance though that was passed, this bicycle safety ordinance you know, and I don't think the traffic director can just overrule that.
Right.
But the thing is that how you execute the ordinance was definitely in the purview of the traffic director. So whether you want to move parking this side or do this or do that,
It seemed like even though like your objections or your questions about the traffic advisory board, you know, when the manager's response to this was like, well, no one's filed a lawsuit or brought a petition before, so therefore we don't have to answer to any previous issues with. I found that to be kind of surprising coming from the current new city manager in terms of a position to take, but I also don't know in the alternative what you could do. Go back and say, well, every decision we made pre-traffic board dissolution is not invalid. No.
You know, I mean, there is one interpretation that might go along those lines. It's true. I don't quite see that being upheld in any court, but at least you can make that kind of case. But let me just say one thing is that when I asked Tim Toomey to ask Sue Clippinger about when are the appointments going to be made to the traffic board? And remember, this was long time ago. Her answer was, we like to just take care of things in-house. If anybody has any troubles, they should just give me a call. I said, so that's your idea. That was the official city response to the redress of grievances, is that if you don't like what I do, just give me a call and I'll think about it. I was horrified at the time. Yeah. I said, you know, what kind of show are we running here? This is ridiculous. But it just went to bed, and I just assumed that somebody quietly talked to some state legislatures at some summer session and had quietly disappeared the traffic board. But that wasn't ever done. It was no vote ever taken. It was never removed. And finally, after many, many years, the city administration now acknowledges that it was supposed to have existed all along, and they're now actually asking for people to apply. Now, here's where the moment of truth is going to come, though, okay? Because so far, so good. I think our current city manager has actually been courteous, professional, you know, pretty much everything I would have wanted from a city manager, all right? But, you know, the real rubber hits the road when a manager has to say no, or when the manager has to say, I believe in my best judgment, this is what should happen, even when he knows that there may be some objections from city councilors. Well, okay, so here's the big question for me, right? Is going to be this. Is that, okay, so we've got two boards coming into existence. you know, one of which is sort of a longstanding Board of Zoning Appeals, which is always has its level of local controversy, I suppose. And then the traffic board, which is basically being reborn with some controversy at its birth, right? So the manager, in my view, should make a very thoughtful decision on appointments based on professionalism and quality of candidates without political considerations. Now, is that what's going to happen?
That'll be tricky. And I think
that's the moment of truth.
I think it'll be more contentious even in the bicycle, in the bicycle, the traffic board appointments, right? So I think that if you have people who are part of what was considered to be like the bike lobby being appointed to the board, well, based on their own literature, they have, you know, 7 counselors out of 9 that will support them. If you have someone, say, from the North Mass Ave business group, you know, they also have an axe to grind. Are they the best candidate? I think I'm hoping that the manager sees through both those sides. And in terms of the BZA, I think that this is, and I think a lot of this was born, the appointments at least, was born out of frustration with the BZA, most notably on the 2072 project on Mass Ave. It's not the BZA's fault that they don't give a variance. And I think, like, I don't like the BZA currently, but I also respect them. And I say that it's going to sound a little bit odd to say, but like, I think they're obtuse in some directions and other directions they're not. And when they're not giving out a variance, it's not their fault. That's the council's fault. If you don't like the current zoning, the way it's written, it's got nothing to do with the BZA. It's like being mad at the judge because he let some guy off on a technicality.
Right.
It's just the law. They're in there to interpret the law.
That's exactly right. To interpret the law and to judiciously permit certain exceptions based on reasonable criteria.
In terms of a variance, though, that's very specific criteria given by the state that 99.9% of lawsuits succeed on blocking. So, you know, to my mind, the real issue is our zoning code. And if you have a problem with that, you should go talk to a city councilor about it and not throw a bunch of volunteers who really spend an inordinate amount of time volunteering for the city to do their job.
Right. Actually, specifically on the 2072 Mass Ave thing, I found it very interesting to hear when there was, you know, I think that project was actually withdrawn, you know, to be reintroduced at some later date.
But they knew they lost.
Right. But they knew they were losing there, right? Mm-hmm. But the response from activists and political circles to me was actually pretty disgusting. You know, it was sort of like, well, you should have just let it go through because don't you know that we think it's important that affordable housing should be built? I say, well, we can all agree with that, but, you know, we wouldn't agree to put affordable housing in certain locations. We wouldn't agree in building it on a public park or whatever. So there are certain rules, certain restrictions, whatever. The BZA's job is really to interpret that appropriately. Yeah. And I think you're exactly correct. If you don't like the zoning, yeah, then yell at the zoning, or yell at the people who wrote the zoning or failed to rewrite the zoning.
Change the zoning. Find people who agree with you, make your argument, state your case, defend it, and prove your point. And right, in terms of the affordable housing piece, we also lost the narrative on that too. You know, we basically have stated that if it's affordable housing, then it should be a universal yes, no matter what, no matter where, no matter how.
And that's crazy to me.
It's not a reasonable position to take.
Right.
And I think
it basically turns city boards into political bodies who basically just sort of, you know, exercising political acts.
I firmly believe there's more than one thing the city needs. I stand by that position.
What a radical concept. You mean we should be able to juggle more than one ball at a time?
I think we probably ought to. I think there's probably more than one specific interest in the city right now. I'm guessing, Robert. I haven't gone out and polled anybody, but I'm just making that assumption.
No, it's really amazing to me how we go on to this sort of, it's like a bandwagon effect. So we'll go through a period where everything had to be down zoning, and then we'll go through a period where everything has to be up zoning, and a period where we need much more open space. And I think maybe we need all of these things, in due proportion.
A super citizen chimed in the other night about how, you know, how is it possible that I'm interested in promoting a residential project while I'm also building a hotel. And, you know, my answer to that intrepid super citizen is, well, guess what? We need both.
Shocking. Just absolutely shocking. You are rational.
But, you know, I think, like, honestly, we also need music venues. We need pizza places. Yeah,
exactly right. And you know, miniature golf. Let's not drop the ball on that one.
I just feel like zoning and all this conversation can be way more fun than it really is when people make it. And you get these like religious camps that say, we need bikes. No, we need housing. No, we need businesses. And you're like, shut up, all of you. We need everything.
If I could isolate the single biggest objection I have to the way politics is being played nationally and locally, it's exactly that. It is taken almost quasi-religious quality.
Oh, I don't think there's anything quasi about it. I think full on, like, you know, we pray at the House of Affordable Housing, and
now depending on which church you go to, it's density at all costs, you know. And somebody like me who says, you know, some places density is great, some places maybe not so great. You know, I don't like it when the sort of the zealot comes in and says, no, everywhere it's got to be. We have to look like
Astoria, New York. If you look at everything like it's a math problem, then you're solution is going to be math based and look like, you know, we have a bunch of ones and we need a bunch of tens, and you're like, man,
right, right. You know, it's sort of like they have like
yin quite and capturing the human experience,
right? I always feel like when I hear about like a bunch of people locally here went to some YIMBY conference in San Francisco, they come back, I said, oh, so they went to like religious summer camp, you know,
and that sounds like the lamest thing a person the word could of ever the Lord, do,
you know. Hallelujah. You know,
what are you doing? Let's go to a zoning conference. Like, oh my God.
I know.
No,
it's like,
no, I know. I'm going trick or treating with my kids.
Yeah, really, really. But I think this is a problem. This is really a problem. You know, I like to think that in a city like Cambridge, where there's a lot of pretty intelligent people, that we should have the capacity to consider nuance, and we should be have the capacity to use Solomonic wisdom, to balance out lots of conflicting ideals.
I've been watching you Canterbridgeos for a while, even pretending like I'm one of you every once in a while. And the one thing I will say that seems to be universal is you're very good at solving one thing.
Well, actually, I don't know that we're even good at that. Honestly, we're very good at advocating one
thing. Well, sorry, you're very good at planning to solve one thing.
Right, exactly right. Well, I mean, no, so what do we see? We'll see the implementation of bicycle infrastructure without any proper consideration of parking and loading and the proliferation of delivery vehicles and whatever. And then, you know, once you've sort of put the white post down here, and then an Amazon truck pulls up to run up to make a delivery, next thing you know, somebody's there with a camera sending it into C-Click Fix Zone. You evil bastard, how dare you block the bike lane? I go, well, I'm sorry, City of Cambridge, but you didn't give us any alternatives.
You see that a lot in Central Square, where you have people parking in like the taxi cab stands, but then there's also a taxi trying to get in, and then a UPS truck, and then an actual postage truck, and then like a Cisco truck. And it's like, it's almost like, you know, the Three Stooges, and you're just like, okay. And then a bicycle person will be behind them and like, God damn it, how dare you all be there? And you're like,
I know.
It's bicycle like, person.
It's the religious person's
right.
Right.
But everyone,
the religious zealot shows up on the bike and, you know, and declares, I am the truth and the light. Yeah, so
it's parts cars like the Red Sea.
So I would say just a few other things about the whole matter of the boards and commissions appointments and things is that, so the manager came back with an incredibly comprehensive response. It actually, for the first time in as long as I can remember, it was actually a comprehensive list of all the city's boards and commissions, how they came to be, which of them were subject to city council review of appointments and which were not. That's something that our dear soon-to-be governor, attorney general, didn't bother to take the time to actually review when approving the language last year, by the way. But there was also some proposals for some very modest stipends for boards and commissions, which in my view will be of no consequence whatsoever. I just don't see how that's really going to factor into most people's decisions to serve on boards and commissions.
It won't factor in, it's just unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, it's lunch money, you know.
As someone who's applied for the BZA, my resume is in the queue. I don't want a stipend, and I would just give it. I would give it to charity and give it to the high school. I don't think we should be getting a stipend at all.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if a number of members of boards and commissions actually chose to do that. Actually,
neither would I.
So, you know, I think it'd be kind of a nice thing to do right off the bat. They also propose a notion of term limits, and you know, it's like okay, I can at least see sort of the argument for it. But you know, having served on some, well, there's some shorter term things like the Green Ribbon ones where you know it's going to come and go, right? But some of the other ones where, you know, if you've actually been serving well and you're one of the more vital parts of a
what board, does that mean, though, serving well?
Well, meaning you may be the holder of the institutional memory that nobody else on the board possesses, for example. Mm. You may have legal or technical experience that is just vital. And you may just be an amazing person who is just really, really good at serving in this role. And just to sort of say, sorry, you're out of here just because somebody arbitrarily said so. Now, at least the city manager's response suggested that if they do go down that road, they might do it with a little touch of nuance or something. But
I love nuance. It's my favorite. Yeah.
But we'll see. You know, personally, I think it could end up being just used as an excuse to getting rid of people for political reasons as well. One thing that you didn't address, which I think is actually should have addressed, and maybe will down the future, and we're under a minute left here now, by the way, is something I call self-perpetuation. I mean, you can have something like either the bike committee or even the recycling advisory committee, where if all the members are of a certain mind and the staff people are of a certain mind, they may not want to when they vet future candidates, to allow somebody with a different point of view in there. And even if that would be helpful and necessary. And I think that's another thing where the manager has to have a bit of more of an overview to make sure that you actually do get a broad range of point of views.
Your bleak hellscape of a future, I don't want any part of, Robert.
Seriously. All right. Well, anyway, we're down to just a few seconds really left here. So I think we pretty much touched on most of what we needed to speak of, but we'll have other opportunities pretty soon. So anyway, on that note, this is, and see you later.
Thank you.